makers of the world Mephisto.
To peace! To
welcome to episode 78 of Two Piece Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We hope you enjoy the show today. Hey, so, where should we go? There's so many options.
I think we should boldly go where no one has gone before.
Have you seen the new Star Trek film yet, by
yes,
the way?
Yes, I did.
Okay, dude, we should talk about that after the show.
I fear that if we talk about it after the show, I won't go to bed till 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, for the podcast. I'm going to, because there's something I want to bring up. But basically, here's the thing. I'm going to be able to mention something that is not a spoiler alert. You will not notice this when you watch the film. But if you listen to what I say, you will never be able to watch the film the same way ever again.
Oh, no.
And it will forever be strangely ruined in a way.
Well, why would I want you to say that?
Because It's amazing that no one seems to notice this but me. But once I tell them, they're like, wow, you know what? You're right. And that's crazy. So, there's a teaser for you. You know you want to stick around now.
No, I don't think so, but okay.
You totally trust me. All right.
Go where you feel like going. How about that?
You know what? Now it's time for the topic of the week. This week, we wanted to go over some of the rumors circulating about
E3.
About E3, really. But specifically, Xbox 360 possibly introducing motion sensing technology.
Ooh, we've never seen this before in the home console arena, so this will be very interesting. Oh, wait.
So now, we have attached to the post and also in the M4A feed of the podcast...
A picture...
of apparently a leaked image, a big white sensor bar underneath the TV. I know this is fake for three reasons. A, why would someone take a picture of this thing, which looks like it's in someone's living room? First of all, right?
Well, it not only looks like someone's living room; it looks like someone's living room that was decorated 20, 30 years ago. And I just don't see Microsoft testing it out.
Right.
In
why would
that person's
like...
house. Whose house is that? And why would they have access to this item?
Yes. Number two, why would the sensor bar be that gigantic?
Well, that I'd have to say is possible because of what they're saying it can do, which may help your case of saying that it's fake. Because if I run down the list of things it can potentially do... it would have to be at least that big, because it's just pretty amazing. It says it has full body and hand gesture control of games/characters. And it's not a motion sensing controller. It's a sensor bar that lets you move your body, and you don't need a controller, essentially.
Right. So it's like an iToy.
Yeah, so it says in fighting games, you kick, punch, duck, dive. I don't know if I'd really want to dive in a
isn't it amazing,
game?
Like... do you remember the Genesis like fighting ring or whatever it was?
Horrible.
You sit in the middle, you punch out. It's like, how have we been over this before? No one wants to do that crap. No one wants to. I mean, if the Wii has taught us anything, is that people like slashing the sword and then they just resort to wiggle.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like
it was cool once, and now we're done.
And now we just went because, like, you know what? I don't want to work that hard anymore. Like, it's like, come on.
Well, then, but it goes further. It picks up small hand gestures like pinching, grabbing, and scrolling. I don't believe that. There will be video conferencing and games with video. That is potential, you know.
It's the potential for, like, total lewd, just horrible things that you can see with your eyes, okay? Video conferencing over Xbox Live, that's the last thing I want to do with 12-year-olds, okay? That's going to put me in jail unintentionally. Like,
we would see teabagging for real, if you know what I mean. And I don't need to see... That's why I'm glad my gold membership has expired. This would not apply to me.
Oh, man.
Okay, it says you can...
Teabagging in HD, that's the worst right there.
Yes. The camera is in
worse
full
than real
HD
life.
To catch every minute detail.
All right, moving on.
But here's the thing. It says, sensor detects only the person playing, not folks observing on the couch. Okay, all this is nice to think that it could really do this, but you know what? No, it wouldn't work. It can't.
I just unless you put like balls on your. Okay, well hold on.
Wait, whoa! Okay, we already went over teabagging, Ray. Come on.
Unless you put motion capturing,
objects. Spherical on object
your, on your body, then yes, I all right.
That's well, no listen, better. You're listen, not making it any better. There's
this is not our normal humor. Here's number three. Here's the number three reason. Okay, if that wasn't enough already, you notice how white that thing is.
It's like a wee white.
It's like wee white, but think about the photograph. This photo, if you look at the light source coming in from the side, it's like yellowish. The the 360 itself is very gray. There's nothing else that white in that photograph, but yet the wall is clearly white. Like, I doubt the wall is supposed to be yellow. And that's because people didn't white balance their photo ahead of time, right? When you take a picture, it's not going to come out perfectly white. There can be, like, yellow tinges to it. As a graphic designer, I can tell this photograph was taken and then a perfectly white object to a computer screen was placed in that room, essentially. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It seems obviously Photoshopped to me that if this was real, that object wouldn't be quite so clear and white.
I have one reason why it's real, and that's followed by three reasons why it's fake. My reason that it's real is because the image on the TV screen is a demo-ish, like, I'm testing this object image.
No!
Therefore, it must be real, right? So here's the three reasons why it's fake. One, the TV is in front of a window. And who puts their TV in front of a window, honestly?
All right, interior decorator. You know what?
Number two, who has a receiver for their audio system that large? Look at the receiver underneath the TV. What year was that receiver made? The huge speaker on the left side of the TV.
Yeah, what?
There's no matching speaker on the right side of the TV.
Well, I don't think we have a different viewing angle.
I suppose. But that's so close.
Wouldn't it be funny if, like,
this is Bill Gates' actual living room?
This is what people should do when they release leaked photos of a... Here's what you gotta do, okay? If you ever take a photo of the actual product, what you need to do is keep that in the photo, but then Photoshop in other objects into the photo that wouldn't make sense to throw everyone off.
Yes.
You know, like, you know what? Let's put a window behind this TV. And, like, let's put one speaker... Like, let's put it in the 360. Let's move it to the other side so it doesn't look quite right with the perspective, you know? That would be the best. And you're like, see, I told you it was real.
Yeah,
I think I'm onto something there.
I still think, since you're a, you know, graphic designer, you should totally fake us out with some sort of, you know, rumor and speculation image that you Photoshop together and just let people run with it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is it needs to be, like, from a credible source, you know?
Well, that's why you send it to Engadget like this did. Just get your name
Whoa!
Out there.
Whoa! Edit!
But the truth is...
Tim is off the cuff.
We're going to look really stupid if this turns out to be exactly the item they present.
That's what I was saying. I'm going to be shocked and amazed if this is right. Like, I want to see, like, the release video be of this house. Like, someone's in there demoing it off in there, you know? Oh, man.
That would be great. He's going to be like, sorry about the one speaker. My other one blew out the other day.
We got pretty wild with the motion sensing stuff. Knocked one over, you know? All right.
But here's the thing. It's plausible that an item like this is coming at E3. And there's even rumors about Sony doing something similar. It's not so plausible that all these things would really happen with this item. I don't think the technology is there to work that cleanly. But, I mean, can you think of the implications of just all of the big three come out with some sort of motion sensing attachment around
E3. I can't imagine
E3.
It being successful. I mean, it would have to be insane. It would have to be like these details they're listing. More evidence why this is real, by the way.
Yeah, true.
I guess, like...
Is that what
Xbox players really want? Is,
no.
like, haphazard motion sensing technology? Like, no, that's why they cling to it.
Why do you think you can pick up be in the movies or whatever that stupid game is for like $10 with the Xbox Live camera, might I add,
right,
on clearance at Best Buy. Because it didn't work. Nobody bought it. Nobody wanted it. And that was motion sensing, like, ooh, look, I'm running in the movie and it's capturing myself. I mean, it wasn't exactly motion sensing, but you know what I mean? It's like that type of gameplay is not really what Xbox users are looking for.
Right.
And if they're coming out with something and the Wii is going to have the Motion Plus, it's going to get saturated just like the music genre with Guitar Hero and Rock Band and every other, you know, musician coming out with a new game. I mean, it's just going to get saturated and we're going to be like, okay, where's the innovation now?
Right. Speaking of games on clearance, take a look at this image real quick. I was at the store and I saw Excite Truck on clearance for the Wii. Excite Truck. It was now marked down to $44.97.
Oh, give me a break.
Clearance. Can you believe
that? Okay, first of all, who wants that game? Even for $4.97.
It's not a bad game. I mean, I enjoyed
it. Yeah, but it's a first generation. I mean,
wasn't that a release title?
Yes, it was.
And it's $44.97 on clearance. I couldn't believe it.
But where was this, though?
It was at Fred Meyer.
Yeah, see, Fred Meyer. That's why we don't have any in California.
What?
Because they put their clearance items $5 off.
Yeah, I think we've done all that we can here. I'm interested to see what E3 will bring us.
Yeah, I will say...
Nintendo.
Yeah. Lack of games for the last 2 years, and they're going to finally blow us away.
I want to see what they're doing with Wii Motion Plus with like Wii Sports Resorts. Because I'm telling you, it could be like a Wii Music thing where they go into great detail about everything, and there's really not that much there.
Would be very afraid.
Oh man, okay. Here's the thing: if Nintendo does not do something amazing at E3, I am going to throw a fit.
Wii Music 2.
It seems like every time people are like, oh, well, you know, they're not using E3 for big announcements. And like, oh, well, now E3 is going to be good. They're not going to announce anything until then, you know. And now, okay, this is game time.
This is
like, you have to talk about it now because there's no more excuses, basically. I don't want to hear any more baloney about this stuff. And that's like, that's the scariest part to me is stuff about that game. And the fact that even like the Wii Motion Plus is completely encased in the Wii jacket. It comes with its own Wii jacket, and it's, like, connected to it. You'd have to, like, cut off the jacket to keep the Wii Motion Plus separate, which I just have a big problem with that to begin with.
Wait.
Not going to use a black
You don't tube. Have to put the jacket on, right?
You do. It's inherently molded with the jacket.
No.
Seriously.
I don't believe
seriously.
You. I don't believe you.
just wait for it. That's why all the pictures that you see shows it in the jacket. Because it isn't separate.
I don't believe you.
Well, time will tell, my friend.
Time will tell.
If I even consider you one.
That's really sad.
Yes.
I don't want my daughter growing up in a world where Wii Motion Plus is tied to the jacket.
In a world of... Oh, man. What has society done to us? Gaming is not what it used to be.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
No, I'd say this is kind of the last chance, because last year's E3 was so pathetic for Nintendo, and they admitted, they're like, yeah, we pretty much screwed up.
I mean, I know we talked about this off the show, but they had said they had like seven other, like they were working on 10 games or so for Wii Sports Resort, and we only saw like three of them, right?
Yeah.
We're like, do you realize the other modes will be like, oh... Do a frisbee dog with a Dalmatian, you know, or like, you know, like it'll be like timed mode or like
it's gonna be cat frisbee, like, and
in
hamster
space
frisbee.
So there's no gravity and the dog runs off forever or something, you know, like it's just gonna be insane.
Let's hope not.
But speaking,
I wanted to enjoy it like I enjoyed Wii Sports.
And that's what it's gonna have to live up to with the same name. I mean, that's the big thing now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But speaking of your daughter, move us on to comic talk. This week we had Two-Piece Stop.
Two-Piece Stop, that's right.
And we've been meaning to do this comic for months, really.
Well, not this comic, but a comic that revealed that my wife was pregnant, yes.
Yes. Initially, the idea was you were trying to come up with names for the daughter, and, like, you were just like, oh, what should we... name her. And you're like, huh? What? Who? Like, you're, like, playing video games, and you're like, and she's, like, standing in your way with her pregnant belly. You're trying to, like, look over it at the screen, and you're just listing off all these video game character names, and...
Yeah, same like, or like, Peach, or Samus, or
yeah,
Zelda.
Yeah, and, like, you hand the, you're like, oh, let me call Ray real quick. Like, no, you know, and, like, and, like, it was all good and fun, but eventually, after months of thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, we, like, let's... Totally, especially after doing like what 11, 12 panel comics this last couple weeks, I'm like, yeah, let's do something simple.
Plus, and, I don't think you wanted to try to draw Sarah pregnant, right?
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? I'm good, really. Congratulations, by the way, Tim.
Well, thank you.
I never said congratulations off air because I was waiting till this moment. We don't like to talk about these things off the show, but
yes,
no. Seriously, though, congratulations. Looking forward to it. Hopefully, it won't be the end of 2P Start as we know it.
No, I don't see that happening, even though we joke about it. I mean, life will definitely be different, and podcasts might get louder with crying in the background.
That's
or
right. Yes, yeah.
More interruptions, but, you know, we'll just see how it goes. And, yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll give me a different perspective on life. And
yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see if the daughter gives you lots of ideas about the comic.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
But, I mean, the reason why I would never want to do the comic away from you... I mean, you really do... I think the balance between you and me is amazing. I mean, frankly, just us as friends has completely blown my mind since, like... I mean, like, just to start doing this before we even met each other...
Yeah.
And, like... All our interests are just totally aligned and views about life and all kinds of stuff. It's like, how did I randomly bump into this person and yet so many things align? It's a little creepy.
Very strange. Never
thought
that
would
happen.
So Sarah has some competition and she better watch out.
That's right.
Because I'm coming for you.
Well, the comic itself, I think, was a success. In fact, it was interesting that a lot of the... By having people suggest names, we almost had... what the original comic was going to be, because everyone started suggesting video game names, and of course Sarah wouldn't approve of that.
Right. I like girls, by the way. I mean, anytime you ask a question in the post, I get very worried. Like, hey, any suggestions for names from a video game webcomic read by 10-year-olds or something? Yeah, I'm like, oh no, what have you done? The floodgates opened up. I'm like, 120 comments. Oh,
that's
goodness.
Great news, Ray.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Well, at least I appreciate my fans. I can't say so much for my counterpart.
Yeah.
No, it's fun once in a while to just, specify and see what people come up with. And there were some good comments in there, but...
Yeah, for every great comic comes great comments. This week's suggestion box was no different. Mine goes to Worm, who said that, well, I figure I can try to make this special and guess that the June 2009 calendar picture has to be from Lost in Translation comic. I see dark green highlights, and although blurry, I can't find any other comic with such dark colors. What Worm is referring to is the second time you see the calendar. It's been bumped to June, correct?
Right.
And so I actually used a different picture for the calendar, even though you only see like one thousandth of it. And Worm is correct. It really is the DK tossing a barrel while flying around. I'm like, holy frick, dude. How'd you... Dang. I was pretty amazed.
You can see a little bit of, like, greenish.
That little bit of green tint. Yeah, and I'm like, jeez. Like, that's one of those things.
I didn't
like,
even
oh,
bother
no
looking.
No one's going to notice this. And then someone does. It blows my mind. So, Worm, my hat's off in a weird way. But
wait, your Sonic hat?
Well, it's off right now, which is actually very comforting to know.
I'm literally prying my Sonic hat off my head
I'm
for the
slowly
first
taking
time.
It off so you can't hear the sound of it leaving, and all the winter drawings are falling out.
Using a screwdriver to pull...
The Velcro is coming off.
And yeah, I'm not in a... I'm not in my... living room where I keep my games on perfectly aligned shelves.
Yes, yeah.
Ray drew me on in the GameStop,
yes,
right?
Yes, originally I was going to have the swimming pool money behind you, and I'm like, I'm better than that. I can do better than this, especially since I just told GX Echidna, he's like, oh, is there going to be a swimming pool in the next week's comic? I'm like, oh, no. And then I started putting it in. I'm like, no, I should do something else. Just, I think just the idea of you being in GameStop while giving the announcement to me, you know, was funnier.
Yeah, yeah. That was good. Well, my comment actually goes to GX Echidna.
Oh.
Who said, I'm not sure what else to say beyond congratulations and great comment, guys. I don't think I've ever made a comment that simple. It feels so strange. We now know the purpose of the swimming pool of money. It has officially become savings for college. Perhaps you can fill it with something else now, something like responsibility, pride, or Dr. Pepper. Very good suggestions there. Yes, money will have to be diverted to a college fund at some point.
I mean, if you put money in a swimming pool, I mean, nothing's, you know, it's not going to go bad. But, like, Dr. Pepper, I mean, think about if you left, like, just gallons of Dr. Pepper in a pool for long periods of time. Oh, man.
Well, you could just put cans of Dr. Pepper in there.
That's true. Yes.
And then
that
you'd
would,
be okay.
That would not be very enjoyable to swim in. Not that the actual Dr. Pepper would be, but maybe for you.
Yeah, can you imagine how sticky and gross that would be?
Also, from time to time, we have a different kind of comment that makes us pause and wonder why we do what we do. And this is what I call creepy comments.
I know where you're going with this, but I didn't know we had a segment called this.
Well, we did this once on the 100th, or the, yes. The one-year version of the show.
That was very
creepy. The creepy comment goes to Devin, who said, speaking of pregnant, I wonder what Sarah's hot body looks like right about now. Did it look like she ate a basketball?
Yes, that was a bit... well, I mean, I have to admit, I believe my wife is hot, and I think she still looks hot, even pregnant, but...
I would agree with you, but that would seem out of bounds for me. not that I like guys, but that I... all right. Anyway. Also, we have, from time to time, people who come out and finally rise from your grave.
Rise from your grave.
Many Two Piece Start fans tend to lurk behind the shadows, hiding their faces by reading our comics, but never leaving a single comment.
How dare they?
So when one finds the courage to break free from the shackles of silence, we salute you.
Go
for
it.
Our first grave riser goes to Nezume, who said, I've decided to rise from my grave to congratulate you. I've always loved the comics, so please don't destroy 2P Start.
Our second one goes to ZombieMan98, who said, well, I guess it's about time I rose from my grave.
Rise from your grave.
I don't have much to say about this comic. It is funny, though. I've been reading since about here, and it's a link to So Close Yet, which was our Mario Kart comic, I believe.
Yes.
And I really enjoy the comic. As for the podcasts, I'm still catching up on those, but they're funny as well. Keep up the good work.
Also, we have Worm, who, it was in the same comment as earlier, who said, darn you, Ray and Tim, just when I thought I could control myself and find a perfect time to rise from my grave. Special. You guilt me into rising prematurely. Although I'd like to say I've listened to every podcast, there's just too many of them. And to make up for it, I've listened to the first 5 and the last 25. That sums up for most of it, right?
Yeah, that's more reasonable than...
That's
we're getting
fine.
To a point
yeah,
now.
As long as you... all I hope is that you start listening and then you just continue. We don't expect you guys to go back. I mean, just out of your enjoyment, go for it, you know? But that's not a requirement by any means.
Yeah, I agree. All right, and our last one, I believe, goes to Sniffit, who said, challenge complete. Grave Risen, long-time fan of the comic since the Brawl editions. That is a long time. And the podcast since the Boss Music episode. That is a long time. And decided to mosey on out of my grave. Also love this comic. Another good laugh from 2pstart.com. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Can you believe we have somebody that saw us at the point of the Brawl audition comic and had yet to post a comment on the site
isn't
until
that
now.
Amazing
that's almost 2 years, isn't it?
But the thing it's about our daily actions, I mean, the only reason these people are coming out is because we kind of asked them to with this segment, otherwise they still wouldn't have. Because how any other site that I go to that... any other site that I go to that I don't comment at, I never comment, ever. Like, I have no reason to. Because then I go to the site knowing this is just the site I go to look at and then move away from. And it becomes habit, and then I can't break that habit. Unless there's a very specific reason. So, very, really, really pleased to have you guys come out of nowhere. And we appreciate all the people that comment at our site. Even Roger Cat, who mentions Rouge in every single comment, which is amazing because it never fail. Every single comment, somehow Rouge gets thrown in, and I'm like, wow, he still mentioned Rouge.
It's almost to a point where I feel like IP blocking him, you know?
No, we really do appreciate all of you, except for Devin's creepy comments, but even we still like him. Well, moving on.
We still like Devin.
It's time for the dreaded Black Doom Award. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the worst character Sonic Team has ever created. Duck the Bean. I mean, Bean the Duck. I mean, Black Doom. Here's my Black Doom Award. This is how I know that when Nintendo released the Nintendo DSi, they really had no freaking clue what kind of content they were going to release for it.
That's my Black Doom Award, you jerk.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Joint Black Doom Award, go for it.
It's the Animal Crossing clock.
Ugh, yeah, and calculator, mind you.
All right, here's the thing. So essentially the DSi, for those of you who don't know, uses like a downloadable, you use your Nintendo points, which are not cross-platform workable on the Wii, to purchase new games that you can play, such as WarioWare Snapped. But they're not full games. They're just, like, downloadable games. They're kind of like the iPhone games, basically.
And they're mini-games, but one mini-game.
Yes. I believe Nintendo is kind of freaked out by the iPhone stuff, where people are able to buy games and put it on their phone instantly, and they don't have any service to do that sort of thing for the DS. So the DSi was like, we have to put this out, even though they don't really have a game plan for it yet. Which is why I didn't want to buy it, because there weren't really any games for it. And that was the reason I would buy such a specific video game. Anyway, so they released the Animal Crossing clock for 200 200 Nintendo points, correct?
They also released the Animal Crossing calculator for 200 points. This
well,
week.
I think the clock is worse, though. Really?
Well, they're both horrible, but yes, the clock is pretty bad.
Because here's the thing. You have to load up your DSi and then launch the Animal Crossing clock application just to get to it. Just to have a clock and use its alarm clock functions. Because it's not going to work if your DS is off. Okay?
Well, and here's the thing. The DS already has a clock on it.
Right.
You don't need a second clock.
But that's the thing is, it's Animal Crossing theme, and it's a more multifunctional clock. You can set multiple alarms, right? But
if
you
your
have
DS
to have the application
is on 24/7.
Running. It's like, really?
They're just pointing out the shortcomings of the DSi as compared to the iPhone, which can have an alarm clock on it.
Right. That's why I have troubles with video game consoles trying to become more like computers. Because I'm like, you know what? Just do the games. Just make the games awesome. It's when they start meddling in this zone of like, hey, let's do like a clock, you know. Let's do some internet-related things. I'm like, it starts to break for me. I don't care for that. Because
here's the thing. The DSi is, what, $170? An iPod Touch is $230. So it's about a $50, $60 difference. You pay $2 for a calculator. Well, you get a scientific calculator on your iPod Touch for free. You pay $2 for an Animal Crossing clock that only works if it's on all the time.
I can water this down really quick, which is the reason why the iPhone games can be sucky is because the iPhone is meant for making calls and all the other crazy computer things that it does. And it also plays games, you know, little fun, little tiny games that you can buy for a little bit of money. Now with the DSi, it's like the DSi is made for playing games. So to make it be like, oh, you could also kind of meddle in like the clock business. It's like, what? No, it doesn't work.
The thing is,
it's like,
the iPhone has like a billion games on it already. Because they opened up this platform for anybody to make as much money as they want by making quality games for the system.
Right. It's basically capitalism on the iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. And Nintendo is like communism, where they're, it's like everything's shut down. We're going to control, or maybe it's fascism. I don't know what the analogy should be. But they control everything. They're going to let a couple big-time publishers release some downloadable content. It's not very open, and it's not going to be successful because of that. Now, I've even looked at the actual games that they've come out. By the way, in Japan, they also have a Mario Brothers-themed calculator and clock, which also costs 200 points. Just stupid, you know? So now you have
free.
Two calculators and two clocks.
See, for the analogy to work, if they were communism, they'd give all these games out for free for everyone, you know?
True. And that's the thing. These things should be free. Maybe that's a little incentive, like, oh, I get a cool, like, Nintendo character-themed application. And, you know, that makes sense, but no. Anyway, even the games that have been released so far are kind of sad. Like, a couple weeks ago they released Paper Plane, and if you recall,
That's just part of... I mean...
That's a little tiny itty-bitty-bitty-bitty mini-game in WarioWare, right?
Yes, and that's why WarioWare was so amazing, because it had, like, tons of those games packed into it. Twisted, for sure. Like, the original WarioWare had a few of them, but Twisted had just tons of little mini-games. It was, like, the perfect game. And so, like, to re-release crap you were already playing as downloadable content for, like, one of the only new features of a new handheld console. It's like, what? This is, like,
that's
a time
not your
paradox,
killer app
people.
There.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the thing. The DSi needs killer applications that make you want to buy the DSi instead of your old DS Lite, right?
Yes, right.
And all they've done so far is take low-grade games and split it off into pieces. Like, for instance, Brain Age. Okay, now they have Brain Age Express Math, Brain Age Express Literature, Brain Age Express Sudoku, and they're each like $8.
Oh my goodness, that game is $20!
So you're paying more for splitting it up than you would otherwise. Clubhouse
games, unbelievable.
There's three Express versions of that. You've got, what is it?
I mean,
oh, Master of Illusion, Magic Show type of games, five of those.
People have a hard enough time on, like, their iPhone buying, like, $1 applications. You know, like, $1, I don't know, you know? with all my money with the iPhone, I don't know if I can spend that extra $1. It's like $8 for, like, math? Just so I can torment myself with how dumb I am? Like, come on!
And then, okay, the other two problems I have. Okay, WarioWare Snapped was supposed to be, like, the one thing that you really couldn't do on your old DS. I mean, everyone says it sucks because it doesn't really work. You need if the contrast between your face and the wall behind you isn't great enough, then it doesn't even detect you because the camera's not good enough. So
right. The
game doesn't even work very well. And the next thing is, the one game that I was like, actually, maybe they're onto something here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was Dr. Mario Express.
Mm, yeah,
actually,
there you
Dr.
go.
Mario, but here's the problem. And it's only $5. That's great. Can't play online. Okay, so for $10, I can play online with my Wii. And that had extra game modes and this and that. But you're not going to let me play online with a little handheld portable system that has Wi-Fi capabilities. I mean, charge the extra $5. Make it worthwhile. But everything they've come out with so far is lackluster.
This all goes much deeper for me, especially with WarioWare Snapped, where now it's like they've stopped making great games and they're just focused on making funny things that will last for a few, like, that'll get your attention for a few minutes, but don't have any really lasting quality to it. Especially with WarioWare Snapped, because WarioWare now has gone down this path from, hey, let's make a really hilarious game that's very simple and very easy to play, but it's all about all the repetition and seeing how fast you can go and the high score. You know, it was like, it got insanely difficult. And now
it's been
watered down to this, like, oh, it's okay if you don't get the game. Like, you spend as much time as you need to, you know, shake the dog. Because really, like, we just want you to shake your face, but, like, we understand that since it can't register you very well, we're just going to take out the time limit, you know? We're going to make it a little easier to play. It's like, now there's no incentive, like, to... It's like...
Every WarioWare game that comes out now has some sort of gimmick on it, right?
It's been watered
WarioWare
down
Twisted.
More...
Twisted...
Well, Twisted worked. Because, yes, it had a gimmick, but it didn't lose the challenge factor of it.
Mm,
it was basically
okay.
The first game with a gimmick, but it got insanely difficult just the same. And used Twisted, you know, it was amazing for the Game Boy Advance. It's the best one of all of them, in my opinion. But then you start to get to Touched, where it's like you have more time on certain things, and it doesn't ever quite get as fast as it was or as difficult. And then the Wii version, you know, it gets a little weirder. And then now this one, it's like, we're gone. Like, we've lost the focus of this game. And that's where it really scares me with Nintendo. It's like, it almost seems like they've lost their... They've gotten so in the middle of, like, pleasing all the regular people, they forgot about the... I can't believe I'm saying this. They forgot about, like, the serious challenge of the games and about what makes them so enjoyable.
Well, and there, it's, it almost seems now like they're running from gimmick to gimmick before they can even really perfect
the gimmick
what
itself.
They've done. Because with the Wii, it's like what we saw at the beginning was like, there's some potential here, right?
Right, yeah,
like,
right.
We see some potential with what they can do with this controller. But instead of perfecting that and coming up with a new Zelda game and a new this or that, that does it better, they're coming out with new gimmicks that will be imperfect, and they will just move on again once we're done with that experience. So you have the Wii Fit Balance Board. It's like, that's not going to be an integral part of every Wii experience, because only certain people are going to have it. You know, you have the Wii Wheel, you have the Wii Gun,
right.
You have now Motion Plus. Like, is everything going to be done really, you know, half-heartedly and just to make money and just to keep people entertained for a few minutes? Are we ever going to have another classic, you know, game that you could play 20 years later and say, yeah, this is great, I love this overall experience? Or is it going to be like, oh, that was so gimmicky, why did we even play that?
Right. No, I agree. It's very scary territory that they're on right now. They need to really focus it and get it in.
Let's hope they got reamed enough at last E3 to get their act together and to really come out with some quality games, which is why we liked Nintendo in the first place.
Well, with that, we'd like to wrap up the show with Musical Misfits. Some great video game songs have been lost in the shuffle over time, and we play one in full after the show's over for those who are still interested. Our listeners get to trade off every other week with my suggestions, so this week's song was submitted by Red Vinny. It's the final battle from the game Paper Mario for the Nintendo 64. So that will do it for this edition of 2P Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Okay, time. Star Trek.
Are we still recording?
Yes. Are you?
Yeah, apparently I am.
Go, baby, go. Yeah, it was a great movie. I really, really enjoyed it. But here's the one thing I was talking about, though. Every 15 seconds, there was a god dang frickin' lens flare. Every 15 seconds, there was some bright lens flare or some kind of a glare effect from the light on the screen. Did you notice this?
A few times, I think, yeah.
It was everywhere. Like, characters would just be standing around talking, and it'd be like, flash, like, lens flare. And I'm like, really? For what? Like, they're just standing still. Like, what is happening that's so insane? Like, yeah, when you're in outer space and something flies by, you get a little bit of the glare. Every single scene, even at the ending when it's just two characters talking to each other, I started counting with my fingers, like, one, two, okay, start over, one, two, oh, start over. I'm like, lens flares everywhere. It was crazy. And it's amazing that they could have so many so consistently and yet no one notices. Like, oh, really? There were lens flares? Yes! Everywhere! It was never ending! It was like Lens Flare the movie. Seriously. Like, it's just insane.
This is interesting. There's actually a quote here from J.J. Abrams. It starts, well, this isn't part of his quote, but here it says, if you've seen a single second of Abrams' Star Trek, you know the film is stuffed with audience-blinding lens flares. J.J. Abrams admitted he got a bit carried away, but he explains why they're there. At the Star Trek press conference this weekend, J.J. Abrams addressed the press, and when it was our turn, we asked him one thing that had been plaguing us since the first shiny Trek clip was released. I'm curious to hear more about why you decided to use so many lens flares, and exactly when you decided to use them. Smiles. I don't know what you're talking about. Laughs. I'm kidding. What? I know what you're saying with the lens flares. It was one of those things. I wanted a visual system that felt unique. I know there are certain shots where even I watch and think, oh, that's ridiculous. That's too many. But I love the idea that the future was so bright it couldn't be contained in the frame.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's cool. I mean, every lens flare you see is awesome. I feel sorry for the one person who had to put all those in. You know, like, all right, Fred, get to work, buddy. Like, oh, like, oh. All right, click, click. I can't imagine anyone putting these in by hand. It's almost like they just had a filter. Like, okay, if any part gets bright, just make it flash. Or just put a random flash in every 10 seconds. It was insane.
Yeah.
So if you ever watch it again, or if you're about to watch it for your first time, get ready. You're never going to be able to see that film the same way ever again. You're like, dang, that's a lot of freaking lens flares. It's funny. But great movie. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.